Good morning, everyone. I was sharing earlier how it's always great when you have a heat wave like what we're expecting to show up. When you walk up, and after many weeks of hard labor and patience on behalf of Mike, when you hear that air conditioner rolling and it's starting to move, and I was walking up, I thought, wow. It kicked in. I said, man, that's great, because it's going to be a hot one this week. I'm getting ready for it. And it's interesting because as we're talking about investing, it's amazing the things that people are willing to invest in, the things that they're willing to personally consider a priority invest in. I actually went to a store. It's called Ulta. It's up there by the new Outback. So I went in there. Allison, one of the ladies, she's working today. But I went in there to see her, and I finally caught her at work, and she got this. I have really bad eczema, and so oftentimes it's difficult for me to shave. And so she got me this toner and this gel stuff, and I'm like, oh, this feels so good. And I'm not even afraid to be out in the heat. But I invested quite a bit of money in making sure that I had enough just in case he ever ran out. But as we consider the topic of investing, I want us to think about, again, as we talked about last week, people invest in different ways. They invest in different things. They invest in things that they consider to be important to them. They invest in things financially that are going to get them the biggest return back. And as we looked in 1 Thessalonians talking about that deposit which God put in us and how he expects an investment, he expects a return on that investment, what I want us to look at is financial planning, but not financial planning, spiritual planning, and consider it the same way that we consider financial investments. Now, title of the sermon, if we want to give it a title, is The Game Plan. And most people will tell you that if you're serious about getting a return on your investment, that you need to do the research, you need to get somebody who knows what they're doing that can help you come up with an investment strategy. And so what I want to look at is spiritually an investment strategy, because it's not good enough to just, like I said, you know, when it talks about going out and you reap what you sow. Well, it's not good enough to just go out there and just sow stuff just anywhere and everywhere. We want to also, because it's biblical, we want to also make sure that we're investing according to the way the scriptures would have and invest it the way that Jesus would. And so we're going to talk about coming up with an investment strategy spiritually, how we can be better at managing our investment spiritually. And so I want to start by considering what that strategy is when it comes to investing. In Matthew chapter 6, if you want to turn there, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, first part that I want to look at right here in this verse is where it talks about you can't love both God and money. Now, obviously, we understand that in a financial context. And when we think about, as it says, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For some of us, you know, this is of great importance, and it's a really big deal because financially, you know, some of us, it's like, you know, money can be really tight. Others of us, we don't have any real financial problems or any financial stresses. So it can be in varying degrees to how much attention we pay to money, you know, how much we pay to our income and how we spend. But it's also very important where it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because I'll be honest with you, some people, money isn't as important as it is to others. But it doesn't mean that you don't value something. It doesn't mean that you don't have treasure and your heart isn't invested in something. And so what I want us to look at and really consider is, well, what is that thing? It may not be money for you. You may be financially secure. What is that thing that you value? What is that thing that you find treasure in? And how do we reconcile and compare that to what it is that God wants us to have our hearts and our treasure in? We have to identify the matters of the heart before we can deal with the outcome. Because, see, what happens is a lot of times if we are maybe somewhat myopic or short-sighted in this way, we'll think, well, I don't consume myself and think that much about money, and so therefore I'm okay when you look at the scripture. But it's very clear that just because it's not necessarily money, we all invest into something, whether it's we invest in our feelings, we invest in our personal belongings, we invest in our families. It could be good things we invest in. But what I want us to look at in coming up with a strategy, and I want us to think about how we focus our resources. Now, for the sake of a definition, when it comes to finances, in finance, an investment strategy is a set of rules, behaviors, or procedures designed to guide an investor's selection of an investment portfolio. Individuals have different profit objectives, and their individual skills make different tactics and strategies appropriate. Some choices involve a trade-off between risk and returns. Most investors fall somewhere in between, accepting some risk for the expectation of higher returns. Now, when we look at all the different ways in the Bible, in particular, like what we were looking at last week, when we were looking at how it is we are to go out and this deposit that was placed in us, the gospel, what Jesus gave us, he expects us to go out and make a return on that investment. Now, we're going to look at this next week, but many of us are familiar with the parable of the talents, and in other another gospel it's referred to as the bags of gold. And the idea being that God has invested us with his word, with his truth, with the gospel, and he expects us, when he returns and comes back for us, he expects us to have made good on that investment by increasing it, by creating a profit, if you will. And what we see here, and I've highlighted certain words, because when we think of developing an investment strategy, if you want to call it spiritually an investment strategy, how we can make good on what it is that God has given us, even though this is financial, and the way that this is defined, and the way that this is written, talks about finances, we see how just looking at those keywords about the rules and behaviors that dictate the procedures that dictate how you invest, the individual skills that you may have. Like, you know, we know that everybody doesn't have the same gift, just like everybody doesn't invest the same way. You know, tactics and strategies. The idea being that while we can understand it spiritually, sometimes we can almost have the attitude of, well, I'm just going to go out here and wing it. I'm just going to go out here financially. You know, I wouldn't do it, but when it comes to the Spirit, when it comes to God's word, when it comes to the gospel, I don't really have a strategy. I don't really have a plan. I don't really know my strengths and weaknesses, and I don't know where my assets are. I don't know my skill set. I don't even know what I'm good at or what I need to grow in or who to go to get help in growing and developing. I'm just going to go out here and wing it. I got the Bible. I pray. And I'm just going to go out here and do it. And that's no more wise than it would be if you did it financially. You just started investing in things and just putting your money in different places. And so what we want to do is really see what the Bible says about this. And this is Sesame Street. I grew up on Sesame Street. Now, Sesame Street, anybody who's familiar with it knows that they have numbers and letters of the day. Okay, and the letter for today is the letter E. Okay, so we have the five E's of spiritual investing. Roll with me on this. The first one is empathy. John chapter 11, verse 35. We looked at this morning in our Sunday school class. We talked about Jesus wept. See, when we think about investing that gospel, all of this is about people and investing in people. See, where you would invest money in a particular company or we invest in people because that's what Jesus did. And it starts with our heart because that's where our treasure is. And in Luke 11:35, where it talks about Jesus wept. Luke chapter 19, where Jesus is weeping, but it's not necessarily because someone died and because all the people around him were weeping, but he was also weeping because of this lost generation of people who were not turning to God. He was hurt. He had empathy for those who were around him. Romans chapter 12, where it says, we mourn with those who mourn and we rejoice with those who rejoice. This is a part of empathy. This is how we can invest in people. This is how we can take that deposit and put it in a place where it can produce results. We have to have empathy for people. Another E is encouragement. Now, I'll tell you, past few weeks, she didn't do it today, but the past few weeks, Lee has been very encouraging to me. Now, it didn't always start out, at least I didn't think it started out as encouragement. She says, we need to get you some new clothes. I said, that's not the most encouraging start to a sentence. And then she goes on and she says, because you're losing so much weight, all of your clothes are baggy. And I thought, oh, I love you. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for that encouragement. But when we think about investing in people, we think about what it means to take the gospel, what it is to take what God does for us and invest it, we invest in people by encouraging them. John chapter 16, where it talks about how Jesus says, there's nothing for you to be worried about, nothing to be concerned about, because I've overcome the world. I've done it. See, that's encouraging to people. It encourages people that no matter where their situation is, no matter what their problems are, that they can hope, have hope in Christ, and be encouraged and know that Christ has already overcome. Hebrews chapter 3, where it says, we encourage one another daily, that we give to one another in that encouraging way. That is a way in which we can invest in people, where we can encourage them and build them up. Another one is by our example. Matthew chapter 5 talks about the salt of the world and the light of the world, how we are the light of the world, how people see our good deeds. We're setting that example. 1 Timothy chapter 4, where it talks about watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them both. See, people watch our lives and they see our example, and so you're investing in people through your example, because even though you may not be able to speak to them directly or do something for them directly and specifically, your life, your example is, in fact, an investment. Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about living as children of light. See, our example is a way in which we can invest in other people. Number four, evangelism. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 9, where it talks about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. See, us being willing to actually bring, not just in our life and our example and how we care about people and have empathy and concern and compassion, but also in how we literally teach people the gospel. That's a way in which we can invest in people the way that Jesus invested in people. We see that we've all at some point benefited from somebody who is willing to be able to evangelize and be evangelical and in some way share the gospel with us. Eating. You may be thinking, what does eating have to do with it? One of the most underrated things about how you can invest in people is by simply sharing time with them. By being willing to sit down and have a meal with them. We see in James chapter 2, where it talked about faith without deeds is dead, you know. It talks about how, you know, we have to be willing to, you know, it says if your brother is hungry or they don't have clothes, and you said, you know, go, I wish you well, you know, but the person who truly has faith is willing to actually clothe them and actually feed them. And see, a lot of times we think of it as just, well, you know, there's places for that. You can go down the street, you can find somewhere. And it's not necessarily just eating, but sometimes it's meeting the need. But having that shared time and actually engaging with people in that way. 1 Corinthians talks about in chapter 11 where people had their separate meals and they kind of didn't want to associate with certain people. And we have to be conscious of how just being willing to share a meal, being willing to spend time with a person, that's investing in them. It's not always sitting down, okay, I'll sit down with you if you're willing to go through and I'll share some scriptures with you or if you want to pray with me. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I know this person has a need. I know they're hungry. I know there is something that I can do for them, and I'm willing to sacrifice my time to be able to do that. See, all of these may seem like very, you know, they're biblical and they're, you know, seem like very benign things, but these are ways in which we invest the gospel in people. These are ways in which we ourselves can have a strategy. And I might say, well, you know what? I may not necessarily have the most empathy at times, and I need to grow in that area. Well, who do I know that can help me with that particular thing so that I can develop that part of my spiritual portfolio, if you will? Or you may have you may say, well, you know what? I'm pretty good at eating. And I'm looking around. There's quite a few of us who are pretty good at eating. So you can take that and say, well, hey, if I'm going to eat anyway, if I'm going to be having meals anyway, why not share that with other people? Why not invest in that way? Why not give in that way? And so when we come up with these strategies, one of the questions we have to walk away and ask ourselves is, where do we need to focus our time and resources? Now, I was just talking about eating. Some of us may not have a whole lot of food to share. But you know what you can share? Encouragement. You know what you can do? You can invest in people in the way that you best know how. But everybody has the ability to invest in some way. We have the ability to take that deposit that we looked at in 1 Thessalonians. We have the ability to take that gospel, to take the word that's been put in us, to take God's Spirit and give that to others. We have the ability, and I just use a few examples. There's plenty of ways in which we can invest in people and invest that gospel and make good on that deposit. But going back to where it talks about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, I'll tell you, this is where my heart is, okay? These are my investments, okay? This is where my heart is. And I want to share a story because I think it's important, because sometimes we might feel like, well, I'm eating with people and I'm talking to people and I'm trying to set the best example, but sometimes it doesn't feel like my investment is growing particularly fast. And so I want to share a quick story with you. Now, my wife, she's on the phone. She's telling me how she just finished preschool, and they had their little play day thing going on. And one of the parents, Kendall's best friend, is this little girl named Emerson, right? So Kendall comes home every day and tells 10,000 different stories about Emerson. And it's like, okay. And it's the strangest thing about it is it's never the same story. It's always something new. They do something new. They get some kind of shenanigans going every day. So she's telling me about Emerson. Well, so Sharice is there. She's talking to Emerson's mom at this little end-of-year playday thing, and she's talking to her, and she says, so, hey, how you doing? And she, they're exchanging pleasantries, and she says, so what church do you go to? Because I know you have to go to church. She said, because Emerson, all she ever does is talk about Kendall and God. Now, Emerson has been learning about God from Kendall. And so she's telling her all these different things about God doesn't want you tearing up the trees because he created that. And, you know, God wants you to trust him, and God lives inside of you. His spirit lives inside of you. And so, you know, she's like, look, I'm just a soccer mom. I don't really go to church. I don't really spend a lot of time, never really invested in that kind of way when it comes to spiritual growth. She says, but I'm thinking about it because Kendall is teaching Emerson all these things about God. Now, she tells this story, too, about how Emerson cut her finger, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and she starts bleeding, and she starts crying. She's crying. And she's, like, concerned, thinking, does it hurt her? What's going on with this? Maybe she's scared of blood. She said, no, but I know God lives inside of me, and I don't want to lose him. I don't want to bleed it out, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, like, where did this come from, right? Like, who told her that, you know? But the larger point was when you step back, it's not just that, okay, Kendall is teaching about God. See, what happens is my wife comes up and approaches Kendall afterwards, after they're going home. She says, Kendall, I talked to Emerson's mom, and she told me that you were teaching about God. And Kendall kind of got a little down face. And she said, no, you're not in trouble. I'm proud of you. That's a good thing, you know. And she's like, okay, I just wanted to make sure, Mommy, because I've been teaching everybody. I've been telling everybody about God. This is a 5-year-old. She's been telling everybody. And as amazing and as heartwarming and as much as that was encouraging to me, see, here's the thing about that investment. See, that investment isn't just coming from my wife and myself, but that's every week that Megan teaches her in Sunday school, because that's her teacher. You know, that's every time that my son is getting his tutoring with Sharon, when he's learning piano from Miss Linda, when, you know, he goes downstairs and Kay and Pat and Donna and when Darlene, when they're all teaching these kids. See, you all didn't experience that. You didn't hear that. You didn't get that story from Emerson's mom. But you invested in my children. And so what we have to always do is trust that God's word is true, and that when we make the investment, we're not always going to see it on the other side. We're not always going to have the benefit of somebody standing up here and telling you the story of how you're teaching my daughter in Sunday school is investing in her, and that she's going out and taking that seed and she's sowing it. You're not always going to know that when your coworker is hurting and you say, listen, I've been praying for you. I know your situation. And if you ever need to talk to somebody, if you ever need to pray, I'm here for you. See, you don't know how far that's going to go. You don't always see how far it's going to go. But when we think of stories like that and how we invest, it's important that we have faith that that investment is going to mature, that what we take and what we share and what we give, it's going to grow. See, I can't take credit for that. You can't take credit for that. I don't know who my daughter's talking to every day. I mean, apparently she's talking to everybody about God, you know? That's just what she does. But when we think about with our children and how much we pour into them, and sometimes we wonder, well, is it working? Does it matter? You know, when I give my time to cook for someone, to go see about someone, to care about them, when I'm praying for someone, when I'm sharing the word with someone, does that matter? Is that going to go somewhere? You know, it's summertime now, but I'm planning and we're getting ready for the next semester at Del State to start up and over here at Wesley College, and how we're going to be investing not only prayers, not only the money and resources that go into a campus ministry, but we're investing in those children's lives, those young men and women's lives. We're going to invest the gospel in a place where all they know is what the world has to give them. Do we have faith that that investment is going to matter? You know, as you see my family up here, that is where my heart is. See, it matters to me when you invest in my kids. It matters when you invest in my wife and you love and you support. See, just like we talk about with investing, there's a lot of things that may not matter to some people, but other things, they matter a lot. I mean, my wife said something to me last week, I guess it was, and she's like, well, how do you handle the, you know, certain stress and different negativity and things like that? And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't even affect me. It doesn't even bother me. But if you affect one of my children in a negative way, then you can bring me down. If you affect my wife, but if you're investing and you're giving and you're supporting my wife and my children, see, that's going to have an effect on me as well. How much more are people who don't know Christ? How much more are the people who don't have a loving family like I have here in this church? How much does your investment and your giving and your strategy of saying, I'm going to encourage this person every day. I'm going to pray for this person every day. I'm going to share a meal with this person once a week. I'm going to take the attitude of being strategic in my investment of the gospel in other people. How much more of an impact could we have if we just believed? You know, I told Megan I was going to talk about it, but here's the thing. My daughter thinks that Megan is her teacher. Just like we sit back and we think of how we look in the Bible and we see how the disciples sat under Jesus and they learned, she identifies her as her teacher. I'm sure Megan, as she's going around and she's working and she's coming home and she kicks her shoes off after a hard day at work, she's probably thinking, I just want to get something to eat and relax and see what's on the news or something. But that impact that she has just once a week by sowing into my daughter, into Carter, makes such a huge impact. Do we believe and have faith in the impact we're having in other people's lives? Because that's the impact. That is what the investment is for. That is why God made the deposit in us. It's not because we're any more or less special or anything makes us above anybody else. It's because God expects us to be those vessels, to be the people that he chose to go out and make an impact on others. Sometimes it's as simple as being kind when a person hasn't been particularly kind to you. And sometimes it's being willing to say, you know what? I know I had plans. I know I had something I wanted to do. I know that I had this idea of what I thought was important, what I wanted to do, but I'm going to take this as more important than what I consider to be important. I'm going to take this thing, I'm going to take this person, I'm going to take their life, I'm going to take their fears, I'm going to take their situation, and I'm going to invest in them rather than holding on to it for myself. And so I simply want to close, because we're going to talk about the parable of the talents next week and talk about it from the standpoint of investing and how we invest. But I want to leave us with a few things about investing that we can really take home and ask ourselves. Now, I've left up a lot of scriptures up there when I was talking about the five areas that I had identified. But I want us to really consider, who are the people that we're investing time in? Who are the people that we invest in? Can you identify somebody or some peoples that you invest in? I was talking to Mr. Douglas, and he was sharing about his neighbor who he cooks for multiple times a week. Like, you know, and he was kind of like, I don't know if the person is, you know, I don't know if they appreciate it. I don't know if they don't appreciate it. I just know they keep showing up and eating. You know, I just keep cooking, and they keep showing up to eat. And you think, well, is this maturing, to use another final term? Is this maturing in the way that I would expect? He's like, I don't know, but I'm going to keep on cooking because I got to eat, and I may as well cook for them because they got to eat too. You know? Who are we investing our lives in? You know? Who is that neighbor that you know, and this is something that I've used to do for a living. So, like, when I cut grass, people are like, man, that's a lot of grass. I don't get particularly tired when I cut grass. Actually, I treat it as my cardio. Now, I'm not going to be cutting. I was just talking to Matthew. I said, I'm not going to be cutting any grass this week because it's going to be in the 90s. Like, I'll wait till after 7 o'clock. But the point is, when you go out and you cut your neighbor's grass, when you offer to help them fix their car, when you offer to help them in their yard, when you are willing to watch their kids for them, you know, the investment that, you know, my son, he does karate. And, you know, Natasha, I heard him talking to somebody. He was one of the kids. He's like, oh, yeah, that's just Miss Natasha. That's my Russian grandmother. And and he, like, she's there for karate just to support him, just to say go, just to clap when he does well. See, that's investing in another person. Who do we invest in? Do we have somebody we're investing in? Do we have a strategy? Or are we just out here just kind of winging it? Have we even thought about a plan? How can we make an impact? Have we prayed and asked God, help me to identify how I can have a strategy? It could be something like you say, I'm going to go up here to Modern Maturity. I don't particularly want to go to Modern Maturity, maybe, but I'm going to go to Modern Maturity and I'm going to sign up because that is where I can find people that I can invest in. As much as I do enjoy the stress relief that comes from working out, there are a lot of days that I don't feel like it. But I'm going to go. If for no other reason, then that's a part of my strategy to have an impact and build relationships and be able to set an example, to be able to encourage people, to be able to spiritually invest in people's lives. I do that at the gym. Probably wouldn't work too well for me at Modern Maturity Center, but I can do it at Club Fitness. What is your strategy? Do you have a strategy on how you're going to be able to impact people's lives? Where are you going to develop one? Who's going to help you come up with one? Where are your strengths and weaknesses? Which of these E's that I identified with the help of Cookie Monster of spiritual investing is a strength for you? Where's your weaknesses at? And more importantly than even those, because we can identify a lot of things and do a lot of analysis, but are you committed to becoming a better investor of God's deposit? Are you committed to saying, you know what? I don't encourage enough. Or I don't think of ways to spend time with people like I need to. Or maybe I don't. Sometimes I'm so insulated and I'm so busy that I don't have empathy for other people in their situations. Are you committed to being a better investor of that deposit that God has put in us? Are you committed to doing it? Because it doesn't matter if you analyze it and figure it out and say, okay, I could do this and I could put my money. Because, you know, just like any other, you know, financial investment, there are people who, frankly, they're scared to put it out there. There's risk. There's risk of failure. There's risk of rejection. There's risk of hurt. There's risk of losing friends. There's risk of offending people. There's all kinds of risk. But we have to ask ourselves, are we committed to growing? And we're going to talk about this next week when we talk about the parable of the talents, because we saw that while the other two went out there and they took the time and they overcame their fears and they went out there and they made the investment, we know the one who didn't. He said, I was afraid. I knew that you were a hard man, that you reap where you did not sow. And see, that's what we have to ask ourselves. Are we committed? Because if you're committed, that commitment will overcome fear. Like it says, perfect love drives out fear. If you love people enough and you love the way Jesus loved, you will not be afraid to commit to figuring out how can I best impact other people? How can I best make good on this investment, this deposit that God has put in me, which is the gospel? And finally, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you need to consider what you value? Is it possible that maybe you need to consider where your treasure is? As much as I love my family, as much as I love, you know, everything about watching my children grow and my relationship with my wife, there does have to be a balance. You can't just say, well, hey, I love this thing and I'm committed to this thing wholeheartedly, but is that where you're supposed to be committed? Well, I'm committed to school. Well, you should be committed to school. I'm committed to my job. Well, you should be committed to your job. But is your commitment to that thing outweighing what should be your commitment to also seeking and saving the lost, helping those who need to find Christ? Because just like some people, they stake their entire retirement. They stake their entire invest, everything in the stock market or everything in a 401k. We have to be conscious of what is a smart investment. What is a wise investment? What is the investment that's going to be the best thing for me? It's so easy sometimes to think, well, you know, this is just where I'm at, and I just love this thing. And I think of how the lady I was talking about, Emerson's mom, she was talking about how she's a soccer mom. You know, it's great to support your kids. My kids are in activities. They do things. I support them, but I certainly don't support them to the point that it takes us away from being a family that loves God, a family that sets an example of what it means to be godly. I can't say, well, I'm going to get in this bodybuilding competition, I'm going to have this goal, and I'm going to eat this stuff, and I'm going to take any supplements, and I'm going to be cranky all the time at the expense of the gospel. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are we invested in the right thing? Are we totally immersed in the right thing? And if not, be humble enough to say, you know what? I maybe need to adjust my priorities. Maybe I need to adjust what's important to me and start to think about what's important to God first. And to think, oh, well, yeah, I think God's the most important thing in my life. What does it say? How can you love God who you can't see if you can't first love your brother who you can see? We have to be committed as his disciples to going out and setting the example and investing in people so that we can then go make disciples. If this is something that you would like to come forward and have prayer for, we want you to come forward now. Because as a church, we're committed to praying for one another and helping one another so that we can be these wise spiritual investors. If you've never invested your soul, invested your heart into being a follower of Christ, you understand that you need to do better. You need to give it all to him so that he can be ultimately in charge of how you live your life and what you give your life to. And you've never done that? If you've never been committed to God in that way, don't walk out of here today and say, well, I'll consider this later, or I'll do this at another time. This is that time. You don't have tomorrow promise. You don't have the future promise. Right now, if you have not found a relationship with God and you have not committed yourself to him, then today is that day. And we want to encourage you to come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll teach you what it is to follow Christ, and we'll continue to teach you as you grow. But let us not walk away from here and understand that God has given all of us who can hear me something. He's deposited something with us, and he wants us to be those people who are willing to go out and make those investments, to be willing to invest in others, and in some cases, spiritually invest in ourselves. But don't walk away from here today and feel like I don't have a duty to do something. Because we all do. And if this is you and you'd like to come forward, please come forward now as we stand and sing our song of invitation.